Praise the Lord, everyone. Before we even get started, I've just felt today, just in prayer, that as we enter into these next few days, we need to enter in with a heart of hunger, with a heart of reaching for Him, with a heart of expectation that God is going to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. How many of you believe that the Holy Ghost power still works? How many of you believe that God is able to do what He said He would do? If you believe that, then I want us just to begin to lift up our hands and begin to worship Him and begin to open our hearts and minds for all that God wants to do. I want you to begin to just push away the things of the day, push away every distraction, and begin to say, God, clear my mind, clear my heart. Let me hear what You're speaking, God. Let me not be distracted by what the things I'm going through. Let me not be distracted by issues, but let me hear the word of God. Speak to my soul, Lord. Help me to get ready for Your return, God. I pray right now, God, strengthen us in this place, God, not to just be here, but to pray and seek Your face. Begin to cry out to Him. Begin to push right now. Push past your tiredness. Push past the place you're usually, and begin to call on His name right now. Call on His name right now. Call on His name. If you need Him, call on His name. If you believe His word is true, call on His name. 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 For He hears when you call unto Him. And He will answer us. He will answer us. There has got to be a hunger that draws us into a deeper place with the Lord. There are so many places God wants to take us, even as He spoke yesterday in the service. There are so many places in Him He wants to guide us to. But it's going to take us to begin to say, God, I don't care what You ask of me. I don't care what I have to give up or let go of. I give You my mind. Change my thoughts and my ways so that I can be used by You. Because when we begin to give Him everything, not just our bodies, but when we begin to give Him our minds and thinking and allow Him to be the one that's in our hearts, when that word gets hid in our hearts, then we are truly able to be a vessel that He can flow through. God did not just free us to set us in a room, but He freed us so we can be vessels that wherever He wants to speak and reach, He can do the work. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. That's Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to start at verse 15. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 15. And I'll read to verse 16, and then you can be seated. When you have it, say amen. Amen. It simply reads, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." If they were mindful of where they came from, they might have had opportunity to go back to that place from where they came from. But verse 16, "But now they desire a better country." Say, a better country. "That is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God." Listen to this next line. "For He hath prepared for them a city." He hath prepared for them a city.
He hath prepared not just the city, but there's a heavenly country and a kingdom waiting for every single one of us that will come unto the Master. We literally just sang about going to a city. God has prepared it for all those who will say, "You are what I desire." If you're mindful of where you're going, you'll let go of where you've been. If you're mindful of who you're going to see, you'll let go of who had you in bondage and slavery. But we have got to let go as the people of God and say, "I want to go to the city. I must be in the city. And whatever it takes, I'm going to let go so I can obtain that city." Father, I pray right now over every heart and soul and mind in this room, God. God, you are stirring our hearts. You are calling your people back to a place of change and repentance and preparation so we can get in place so your visitation will not pass us by, but we will be with you and we will continue to walk, God, in the way you have designed for us. I pray over every family. I pray over every wife and husband, every child in this room, God, that tonight, Lord, you would begin to open their understanding that they need you and nothing else, that no other kingdom, nothing in this world is more important than you. I pray you would give us wisdom tonight to perceive your word and understand it. Let this word fall on the good ground of our hearts. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, you may be seated. Oh, you see, God has prepared a city for us. But the question is this: are we preparing ourselves for that city? Because he's went away to prepare a place for every single soul who will come unto him. But the question is, between the time he went away till the time he returns, we've got to prepare ourselves, because there are things God wants us to do. There are places he wants us to go, but it's going to cause us to have to prepare. There is no way you'll walk into a college and on the first day they hand you your diploma. You've attained no knowledge. You've attained no understanding of what you should have been taught. You've went through no processes. And you see, it's the same when you enter the kingdom of God. You can't expect that just when you come to God, you're going to have everything. Everything's taken care of. No more problems, no more issues, no more sickness, no more pain. No, there is a process to get to the very place we sang about. No more tears, no more dying, no more crying, no more hardships. And you see, God is trying to tell us in his word, "I am with you and I'll always be with you." But we've got to understand this. From the beginning of the process, we ourselves need to be changed. You see, many times people come in and sit on pews and they think, "I'm good. You know, I've heard these stories." But they don't understand every single day that we come into this place is an opportunity where we can grow further in our understanding of what needs to change in our hearts, what needs to change in our mind, what needs to change in our family and situations. And many of us just sit by wasting time while God is saying, "I want to prepare you. I want to use your family. I want to use the young people. I want to use the marrieds. I want to use the singles. I want to use anyone who will come to me." You see, a country is this. It's the land of a person's birth or residence or citizenship. You see, Psalms 51:5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." That same verse, the Amplified says, "I was brought forth in a state of wickedness. In sin my mother conceived me, and from my beginning I too was sinful." Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." John 1:5, And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Every single person in this room and on this earth has been born in sin and darkness. This is to set the playing field straight. Every single person is given the promise to be able to be with the Lord. But it takes every single person to make an individual choice to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do what you have asked me to do. Because all of us were born on the same starting line in sin. But God says, I want to call you out of darkness into my marvelous light. You see, the children of Israel were in bondage for 430 years. Their children's mindsets were slavery. Their children's children's mindsets were slavery and bondage. All they knew was that decade, generation after generation was being born in slavery. That's the country they understood. That's the place they knew. And many of us have been born in homes of unrighteousness and filthiness and wickedness. And that's what we've grown up with. That's what we've known. That's where we were born. And that's where we've had our citizenship. All of us. It doesn't matter how rich you are or to how poor you are. Everyone was born in sin. And you see, even though the children of Israel were freed from slavery, even though God sent them a redeemer to come and free them, even though they all walked out with the goods and spoils from the world, from Egypt, and began to make that journey to the promised land, to that country, even though they were freed and rejoicing and in joy, even though they came out with their children, they may have left Egypt physically. But you see, that process to get to the promised land showed them that mentally they had not left it. And you see, many of us, we come to the Lord Jesus and we're like, Lord, we need you to free us from this situation and change it or heal us or deliver us and set us free. And Jesus will do it. Amen. Who can testify Jesus has healed them or set them free? Look around at these hands. He is the God who loves and will heal and deliver. He is the God who thrives on blessing and reaching and guiding his people. But there is a process that you've got to walk through. And that is the process of us getting from one place to the other. It's the process of us changing and repenting and getting our mindsets in order with what God wants. Because everyone knows you don't have to teach a newborn child to lie, to steal a cookie, to hit someone. You don't have to teach them any of those things because we were born in sin. But you have to teach them how to go on the right path. You have to teach them how to walk in the ways of God. There has to be a freeing of our minds. I want you to see this. In Numbers 13, verses 1 through 3, it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, send men to explore and scout out for yourselves the land of Canaan, which I give to the Israelites. For every tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader of his head among them." So Moses, by the command of the Lord, sent scouts from the wilderness of Paran, all of the men who were heads of the Israelites. You see, they had been freed from slavery. And they had begun to see God do mighty works. He parted the Red Sea. He provided food for them. He let water come out of rocks. God began to show himself over and over to help build their faith so they can continue to walk in this relationship with them. And this is what Jesus is trying to do to us. Many times you'll get on your knees and pray and he'll relieve a situation or he'll bless you or he'll guide you or he'll heal you or he'll deliver. It's to build your faith, to keep pushing forward, to keep saying there's more, to keep saying, God, I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to give you everything. I see you're powerful and I'm going to fear you and trust you. But see, this is the moment also where you've got to walk by faith and trust in God. Because he took these people from one place who were in darkness and slavery, and he began to walk with them and be their God. But he showed them, I'm going to take you to a promised land. I'm going to take you to a city. I'm going to take you to a place, and I'm going to give it to you. And listen to this, because it says in verse 26, then they came to Moses. This is after they went and scouted out the land of promise. They came to Moses and Aaron and to all the Israelites, the congregation in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought them word and showed them the land's fruit. They told Moses, we came to the land which you sent us. Surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Surely it flows. Surely the word God has told us is true. God said he would provide it, and it's right there. It flows. There's milk. There's honey. There's goodness. God has told you, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. I'm going to guide your heart. I'm going to help you to be everything that I've created you to be. And you see, many people see it. But you see, seeing is not good enough. Because we don't walk by sight. We've got to walk by faith. You see, the same people who brought back the fruits, the same people who brought back the report, also began to tell more things. And this is where we see they left Egypt in body, but they didn't quite leave it in the mind. And you see, many of us began our relationship with God believing, began our relationship with God so trusting, seeing his power, feeling his presence. But somewhere, we in our minds went back to Egypt. We allowed ourselves to get negative again. We allowed ourselves to begin to look at the desires of the world again. We allowed ourselves to get bored with the Lord again because he's not doing what we want, when we want it, and how we want it. And what it's caused is we stopped truly trusting and believing in his power that he could do things through our lives. And we've gotten complacent with it. But you got to listen to this. In verse 28. It says, but the people who dwell there are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, there we saw the sons of Anak, of great stature and courage. Amalek dwells in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and all along by the seaside of the Jordan River. They were not lying. When you walk each and every day, God never said it was going to be perfect. God never said there wouldn't be enemies and trials and tribulations. Sister Greeley read that in Job. Job faced trials. Job faced issues. But yet in Job's heart, he did not sin against God with his mouth because he was trusting in the one who keeps him. And I'm encouraging you tonight, trust in Jesus no matter what comes your way, no matter what situation hits you, no matter what you're going through, trust in him. Because he will never leave you or forsake you. All day long I've been praying. And what's been coming to my mind is this fear. The spirit of fear that has been plaguing our world. And whether you understand it or not, the spirit of fear is there to challenge the fear of God. And cause people to not walk in the fear of God and obey his commandments, but rather walk by the fear of men and not be in alignment. You see, everything God has, the adversary tries to mimic. Why do you think he tries to put fear into your hearts, even as a little child? Because he knows if he could put fear inside of your heart, it will keep you from truly fearing God and being used of God. Because every time God wants to use you, that fear will creep in and cause you to be paralyzed and not do what the Lord wants. But I want to show you something in Numbers 13:30. It says, "And Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it." Say, possess it. Who wants to possess the city? Who wants to possess heaven? Who wants to possess everything Jesus has for them? Who wants to possess it for their family and for their friends and for their co-workers? Who wants to possess the kingdom of God? You see, he understood, and Caleb had the fear of the Lord inside of him. I want to help you understand the fear of the Lord a little bit. I'm just going to read these very quickly. Proverbs 9:10 talks about fear being the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 says fear is the beginning of knowledge. And when you begin to fear the Lord, this is what happens. Psalms 33:18, the eye of the Lord is upon them. Luke 1:5, mercy is on them that fear him. Psalms 103:11, great is his mercy towards them that fear him. Psalms 103:17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Psalms 34:9, there is no want to them that fear him. Psalms 111:5, he hath given meat unto them. Psalms 147:11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them. Psalms 145:19, he will fulfill the desires of them. He also will hear their cry and save them. Psalms 34:7, listen to this. The angel of the Lord encamp round about them and delivers them that fear him. Psalms 103:13, the Lord pitieth them. Psalms 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with them. Psalms 85:9, surely his salvation is nigh them. And Ecclesiastes 8:12, I know that it shall be well with them. When you fear God, you have nothing to worry about. There are over 365 verses about do not fear. Constantly the Lord says, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. Because it's going to keep you from experiencing God's goodness. Fear will keep people from going up to be prayed for to be healed. Fear will keep people from going up to repent of their sins. Fear will keep people from receiving God's Spirit in their lives. Fear will keep you from doing what is right. This is why the fear of the Lord is so important. But I want you to see this in verse 31 of Numbers. Even though Caleb understood, his fellow scouts said, we're not able to go up against the people of Canaan. Why? For they are stronger than we. They feared the people more than they feared God. Their mind kept going back to Egypt, how they were in slavery, and when they saw them, it brought back memories. They were not in chains. They were not slaves. But yet when they saw them, all they could do mentally was go back to Egypt. It says, so they brought the Israelites an evil report of the land which they had scouted out, saying, the land through which we went to spy out the land, that it devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. That's all in your perception. We saw the Nephilim of giants, the sons of Anak, who come from the giants. Listen to this. And we were in our own sights as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. They literally did not change in their mind, but they were still prisoners of Egypt. You see, you can come out of darkness and you can begin to walk with God. but except at some point in this walk, you exchange the fear of the world and you put on the fear of God and you begin to trust Him and not walk by what you see. No matter how big the enemy, no matter how big the problem, no matter how long you have to wait for an answer, but you walk by faith saying, my God promised that I'm going to a city and He has prepared a city for me, and I am believing that He is the builder and maker of my life, and I'm going to reach that city. The adversary doesn't want you to. Young people, listen to me today. He wants to destroy you. He does not want you to find your purpose in God. Because if you find it, do you know how valuable you are? You know how many lives you can affect. You know that you will be powerful in the hands of God when you trust Him. This is why there's so many allurements out there. This is why there's so many things vying for your attention. This is why there's so many things in social media, so many outlets to pour into your eyes and ears and build up fear and build up desires, but build up nothing for the Lord. We are the ones who determine what comes in the eye gate and in the ear gate. We are the ones who determine what stays in our home. We are the ones who determine who we're going to serve. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If it's good to you, serve Baal or the world, serve them. But we're serving God. We've got to make a choice. Elijah came to Israel and he said to him, if Baal is God, you serve him. But if God is God, you serve Him. And he didn't just say it with words, but God backed it up and showed Himself strong. To the same people He constantly was showing Himself strong to. God is always reaching for us. He's always reaching for you. He's always saying, look, I'm right here. Come to me. Talk to me. Believe in me. And let me fill you. But the choice is up to us. What are we going to be mindful of? The lifestyle, the culture, the family, everything we came from? None of us had a perfect upbringing. But if we allow that to define us, we'll never get to the city. If we shut our eyes to the kingdom, if we shut our eyes to the way God has called us to go, if we shut our eyes to the instructions of how to get into that kingdom, we will forever be lost. And it will be no one else's choice but ours. And God is reaching for everyone here today. I want us to understand this. Because sometimes we come in services and we think it's for a select people. It's for everyone. There should never be a time where we enter the house of God, and during that time, we don't worship the God of the house the whole time. You have not come here to see a sideshow. You've come here to say, God, change my heart. Help me on this journey. Whatever I've got to change, if my motives have been wrong, if my thinking's been messed up, change me. Change me. I know it's hard. You'll find yourself sometimes alone on the altar floor, wailing and weeping. But God sees you. God hears you. He's reaching for you. Forget about this world. Forget about the giants. Forget about the problems. Forget about it all. And say, I want the kingdom. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness. And everything I need to get to you will be added to me. Because God has seen you even before you were born. It's always about changing your mind. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to Egypt. Don't be conformed to your past. Don't be conformed to your situation. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. How do you renew a messed up mind? By the Holy Ghost. By the Spirit of the living God.
He will renew your mind. He will change your ways. But you and I have got to begin to say, God, here's my thinking. Constantly I'm saying, God, my thinking's messed up. My prayer every day, Lord, I cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against you. I bring every thought captive under the obedience of Christ. God, take out any pride of my heart, arrogance, boastfulness, conceitedness. Check my motives, Lord. Forgive me of lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Forgive me for doubting or putting limits on you or myself. Constantly praying because I know I can't make it to the kingdom without Him. And you and I will not make it without Him. Oh, my soul burns in me right now because we've got to get to a place of prayer. We've got to get to a place of saying, God, I want you. I need you. And it needs to be outside of these four walls. Yes, we do it here, but your car needs to be a sanctuary. Your bedroom needs to be a sanctuary. When you're in your schools walking, it's still a sanctuary. Because we are vessels of God. And if we are vessels of God, we should be pure. We should repent constantly. Because everything God uses, He must sanctify and cleanse it. He must cleanse it for His use. And you see, every one of us in this room, we need to be changed. It doesn't matter. Pastor said before, I don't want to be religious. I want a relationship. That's why Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He had a spirit of fear. That's why he did not come in the day. But yet he still was reaching. And the Lord told him, except you are born again, you cannot see. He's blind. He'll never see that light. He'll never have access to the kingdom and the city God has prepared for them. And then he said, except you're born of the water, say water, and of the Spirit, you can't enter. John chapter 3:3-7. Not my words. He says this because it's a spiritual kingdom. He says it because it's not a physical kingdom. It's a spiritual one. This is why when Israel left Egypt, he was trying to change their thinking. He was trying to get them to understand that God will lead them, that God would guide them. And if they would just trust in Him, they would be okay. He never said it was going to be easy. You know, it's not easy, right? Amen. It's not. But if we can trust Him and we can begin to say, God, I need you in every part of my life. If we can begin to get to that place where we really open up inside and stop hiding. Because here's the issue. Even in the church, there is a spirit of fear. Not a fear of God. There's a spirit of fear. The fear of God is there, but not with everyone. And this is why there are times when the Spirit moves in. And there are people who are responding. There are people who are pouring out. There is a wrestling and fighting within the midst of people's hearts. You immediately start to disconnect. You immediately want to go to other things. Every thought tries to come into your mind. Because remember, the mind was the only thing. They left Egypt, but their mind was still there. And God is asking you today, have you given me your mind? What's your report? Are you saying, God, you're able to deliver my mind. God, you're able to guide me. Lord, I know these struggles are hard. I know going to college is hard. I know having my job is hard. I know the struggles in my family, trying to tell them about you when they don't want to hear it is hard. But will you keep your eyes on the city? Will you keep your eyes on the country, on the builder, on the maker, who is the Lord Jesus? Just for a moment, lift up your hands and begin to talk to Him right now. Begin to worship Him right now. Begin to examine your heart right now and begin to say, God, Father, forgive me if I have not done what You've asked me to do. If I've not spoken what You wanted me to speak. God, forgive me. Guide me and change me. From the depths of your heart, begin to talk to Him right now. Begin to acknowledge Him right now. Begin to search your heart right now, because God is able to do all things. God tonight can break the chains of bondage. God tonight can renew your mind, and He can help you get back on the right path. God can fill you with His Spirit that will lead and guide you into all truth, that will keep you on the straight and narrow. God can direct you tonight to understand that you need His name applied to you in baptism. You need to go down into the waters. You need to be washed of your sins. God can forgive you if you repent tonight. If you say, Lord, here is my heart. I am sorry. From tonight, I'm changing everything. I'm changing my speech. I'm changing my actions. I'm changing what I watch and what I listen to. I'm changing who I hang around with. You've got to search, young people. Church, we've got to search. There is a place God wants us to plummet into. He wants us to go further. He says, I am not impressed by just the theatrics. I want souls who are hungry, who are burdened, who are reaching for me. As I am reaching for you. As you reach for God, you picture Him on that cross, bloody and broken and beaten, reaching for you, taking His last breath, reaching for you, saying, I love you, I love you, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. He's reaching right now. Don't resist His hands. Don't resist the move that He's doing in your life right now. Don't resist what He's telling you right now. I know it's not what you want to hear, but don't resist it. Don't resist it. Don't quench the Spirit, but reach for it. Reach for it. Reach for it. For God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Reach for it. Reach for it right now. He's in this place walking up and down, looking for hearts He can prove Himself strong to. If you want to get on your face, get on your face. If you want to stand and lift your hands, stand and lift your hands. If you want to come to the altar, come to the altar. But it's time for us to turn this place into a real sanctuary where God can meet with His people, where God can cleanse His people, where God can transform His people. It's time for us to stop and give Him what He asked of us. I'm telling you, everyone in this room, reach for the Lord. Reach for Him right now. If you don't know what I mean by reach for Him, get out of your comfort zone. Get out of your place of security and begin to say, here is my life. God, forgive me. God, help me. God, guide me. I want to be able to say, I'm going to that city. I want to prepare my life for that city. I want to prepare my family for that city. I want to be in that city with you. I want all the young people to come to the front. I want every young person to come to the front. Every young person, I would like you to come to the front. I'm going to be bold tonight. I'm going to challenge you tonight. Because tonight we need to break the hold that has been upon the people of God. I am tired of the spirit of fear wreaking havoc over our young people, causing them to be gripped in fear and not reaching for God. And I want those elders and parents who want to see God use these children, I want you to come behind them. Because we need to be ones that see God's will. Even if you're not a parent, if you want to see these young people change, I want you to come. Because here's what's going to happen tonight. Many times we come in and we want to receive, and there's nothing wrong. But what needs to happen is all the elders in the generation need to pour into the young people, need to pour into the next generation, and make sure that they get everything God gave to them and more. We can't have this generation not be as powerful and as dedicated and as holy and as righteous and set apart as we were. They must go beyond us. And what is going to take that is us being conscious of every young person in this room. There are apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists that could be right here standing in front of you. Missionaries to countries that may not even be allowed right now. We don't know that. All we know is we're all on the same journey going to the city, and we're praying, God, as we go to the city, use my sister, anoint her, God, speak through her, God, move through her, God, guide her mouth, guide her tongue, use her to reach the lost in hearts. God, use this young man to speak to those around him. Use him for your glory. Use him for your might. Cause him to be everything you want him to be. I want you to begin to pray for these young people. Pray for them. You know where they stand. You know what they're in need of. And young people, I want you to lift your hands. And I want you to lift your head. I'll say it again. Young people, I want you to lift your hands high. Lift your head high. No more doubting. No more fear. Lift your head high. Jesus is ready to impart to you. But you've got to be ready to receive it. No more fear, but lift your head high to the one who will pour it out. Lift your hands high. Parents, elders, pray like this is your last night to impart to these young people. Pray like this is the last time you'll be able to encourage them in a word. The last night you'll be able to see them. Let your voice ring out from the depths of your heart that God would do what He said He would do in their lives. Oh, Father, this is all of yours. These are the ones that you have called. And God, we pray tonight we commission and reach for you. Guide them, equip them, speak through them, consecrate them. Let them be mindful of the kingdom. Let them be mindful of the city you have prepared. And help them to prepare themselves. Help them to be ready for you. Help them to be filled with your spirit. Help them to understand to be baptized in Jesus' name. Help them to repent and cleanse their hearts. Cleanse their souls. You don't have to be afraid, young person. Just open up and let Jesus do what He needs to. Don't hold back the tears. Don't hold back the pain. Don't hold back the frustration. But say, God, I know I may have messed up, but I give it all back to you. I give it back to you. Father, I pray over this generation. I pray over this generation by the authority of the Word of God. And by the power and the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, I pray an anointing over this group. I pray an anointing over these young people. I pray you'd break the spirit of fear. I pray you'd set the fear of God in their hearts. I pray you'd allow the gifts of the Spirit to function. I pray you'd multiply the fruit of the Spirit. I pray that you would cause them tonight to reach and to break the holds over their minds. I pray the armor of the Lord over them. Let them have the helmet of salvation. Let them have the breastplate of righteousness. Let their loins be girt about with truth. Let their feet be shod and covered with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And let them have the sword, the shield of faith, to quench every fiery dart of the wicked. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema word of God. Help them to pray in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication for all saints. Let boldness sweep over them in the name of the Lord Jesus. 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 Ishbatonoria. Mare corior sotocorna. Ezembalamanda briardos burchiere merto. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Guide him and use him in the name of the Lord Jesus. Cover her. Anoint her. Use her in the name of the Lord Jesus. Break every hold over her life, God. Randa sata coramora sapriarda. In the name of Jesus, God, let there be nothing that would keep her from receiving everything, God, every promise, every gift, God, everything that you want over her life. Create in her a clean heart. Guide her heart to be open. God, hold her, God. Strengthen her in the name of the Lord Jesus. La 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 la